Finally on our program today, in a Left in the Law segment, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker review the bankruptcy case of PG&E underway in San Francisco. This investor-owned utility company, one of the largest in the United States, is defending itself and its stockholders in court in response to claims that they are facing around wildfires in Northern California that include loss of lives, forests, and people losing homes. Jan and Mike, look at who is really represented in these bankruptcy hearings.
In a recent article in Forbes magazine, Mark Paul and Johanna Bazua with the Democracy Collaborative call for public ownership of energy utilities as a vital part of responding to the climate crisis. Today we'll be talking about the movement for public power and specifically public takeover of PG&E, the California's largest utility that is in bankruptcy court and suffered a setback in court earlier this month. So let's talk about the competing claims before the judge. I don't think public ownership is on the docket when I read the docket. As an attorney, Mike, tell us what's going on with the bankruptcy proceedings.
Well, bankruptcy proceedings are all about money. And there are people who say that they cannot pay their debtors, and then there are the people to whom they owe money. Both have representation.
In this sad cases.
Well, there generally are sad cases. In this case, there are two gigantic corporate interests. One of them is PG&E itself, which really is the kind of corporation that gives capitalism a bad name. They're convicted felons. Their negligence led to an explosion in San Bruno, California, that killed 8 people. They were found guilty and in 2016. They're on probation now. The judge recently said that PG&E, quote, pumped out $4.5 billion in profits and let the tree budget wither. They're famous for confiscating funds from ratepayers, ostensibly paid to justify capital improvements, to simply add to the profits, and so therefore propping up their stock prices.
So they... By giving capitalism a bad name, you mean they also expose the irrationalities of capitalism?
They absolutely do. They exploit every opportunity to beef up their stock price. That's their beginning and end of what they have been trying to do.
One of the claims, as I understand it, is that the company cannot meet its debts, and that proponents of victims and the public interest have said this is there's been kind of a misinformation campaign around that, or many victims are not submitting claims because they believe that the company has gone bankrupt. What does that even mean, to say they're bankrupt or to claim they're bankrupt, when they have massive assets still?
Well, we don't know. That's the purpose of this proceeding, to find out. What can they pay back? Now, the other side, the chief people on the other side of PG&E are bondholders, the people to whom PG&E owned debts.
And can you just say the difference between a bondholder and a stockholder? Because these are terms used around the hearing. And what does it mean to be a bondholder in this context?
It means you have lent PG&E money. PG&E came to you 4 years ago and said, lend me $30 million. I'll pay you back at 6% on a quarterly basis. So a bondholder would be someone who's got $30 million and said, they've only paid me back $1 million. They owe me another $29
million. And bonds are set at a certain rate that makes them stable, determined in advance to be stable investments with a low return, but predictable.
Well, sort of, yeah, they are predictable. Occasionally some bondholder goes bankrupt. But what's happened is that major capitalists see opportunity. They see that a law was recently passed that allows PG&E to impose future wildfire costs on ratepayers. So everybody is lined up, including Elliott Management is a bondholder now. Elliott has bought up all the bonds, and now they are a major player. and they are as despicable as any group of financiers has ever been. It's they who feed on the Argentinians now because they bought up Argentinian debt and then persuaded a district court judge in New York to hold Argentina liable and prevent Argentina from dodging that debt. They confiscated a freighter in Liberia owned by Argentina. But they have now made friends with some of the victims as well as with the union. They're offering much more money to the victims.
The International fire. Brotherhood of Electrical Workers that yeah. has its own, I think, complicated role as a player in all of this. But there's kind of a alliance against a greater enemy, or there's an alliance of convenience around
all of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's so you've got this big player, namely PG&E itself, battled against bondholders, debt holders, people to whom PG&E owes money, who have made an alliance with the union and with many of the victims. PG&E's chief concern, it says, is exaggerated and inflated claims by victims. They're hypersensitive to excessive claims and really indifferent to all the legitimate claims of people who were damaged on a large scale.
And then there's the public interest that doesn't weigh in or doesn't have standing in bankruptcy court, apparently, but for reasons that baffle me, because it seems to me that there should be claims that communities and states can make beyond people who have lost their lives or their property.
Well, that's supposed to be done by the Public Utilities Commission.
Oh.
Utilities are quasi-governed by people appointed by politicians, and PG&E has been very assiduous in developing good relationships with politicians. They gave $6 million last year to politicians. That's why they got this favorable law passed only 2 months ago. It was signed by Governor Newsom. They're a bipartisan group. They give money to literally everybody in Sacramento. So they get their way quite a bit, and they've made themselves into a juicy object, mangled, hurt, but large and potentially very profitable.
And are the bankruptcy hearings and the response to these recent blackouts that many scientists and engineers say were unnecessary and a very crude tool for dealing with as a fire prevention measure, is there in all this outrage an opportunity for politicians like Governor Newsom to express the appropriate horror and seem to be disciplining them but really doing nothing?
Oh, absolutely. There is a tremendous opportunity to do just that. The politicians have been railing away against PG&E, but the substantive work they've done has all been very supportive of the present PG&E governing body.
So this leaves it to community organizing. There are groups like the Clean Energy Alliance in the Bay Area and a number of groups calling for not only more accountability, but public ownership this utility.
There's accountability. There's a woman now in charge of the Public Utilities Commission who may be better than the people she's replaced, but structural reform is what's necessary. You can have public ownership of the transmission system, or they could buy the hydroelectric system. That would enable the state to reduce its cost-based rates. You'd eliminate dividends, shareholder returns, so that would reduce the cost of your debt when you borrow money, and it would reduce monthly bills.
It's a bit like the Medicare for All campaign. You can't just look at the rates of your premium. There are a lot of other issues around how expensive our healthcare system is because of people who just shuffle things around and are not really providing services, not doing preventive services. So it's not enough to just talk about premium rates, which I think has been a mistake of some of the Democrats. I think with here too, it's not just about the rates of your power, but how it's generated and the sustainability of it and how our power generation and transmission affects whole communities, particularly vulnerable communities.
Well, only public ownership could make determinations about power in the general public interest. Now, even a good, that is responsible, utility wants to increase, and that will require building centralized power generators. There's no premium in having local, like rooftop solar energy, all these kinds of more efficient transmission of energy does not help build the size of the company.
And their dividends.
And the size of their dividends.
Do you think the bankruptcy hearings play any potential role in this drama? They're apparently very dry. There's a bench ruling by a judge. Media aren't allowed in. I tried to find out whether there was a way media could come in. They're very restricted in terms of access to what's going on. What do you see the role of the bankruptcy hearings themselves in this call for a broader movement toward public power?
Well, it has an obvious opportunity for people who've been wounded by PG&E to speak for and be heard. It's true that you cannot send a representative in for the public, nor can you have media present, but you can talk to people after the day's hearings. And so long as an eye is kept closely on PG&E, that would make it tougher for politicians to then make the proper noises and then accept the checks wielded by PG&E and have the checks determine their behavior.
Do they have to then open up their books more carefully during a bankruptcy here? Or can they, is this one big shell game where they can shuffle stuff around and conceal the real level of their assets?
Well, in theory, that's why bankruptcy courts exist. You know, if you got a donut shop and you claim in downtown Portland and you claim that you can't pay people back, you just are not, donuts have fallen out of favor, then people are going to say, no, you're getting more money. I saw a long line of donut eaters. There's going to be careful attention paid to how much money you're receiving and where that money goes. And this guy, Dennis Natale, the bankruptcy judge, has the skills and the staff to find out stuff about whether money has been stashed in a place where it's not being acknowledged, and how much money. He'll determine how much money the bondholders are truly entitled to, whether or not the validity of individuals who've had their houses burned, how much money they're each allowed to get. It's very bulky. It's a huge proceeding because so much damage was done to so many people. But
can they bet against what projected future earnings?
You bet. Yeah, they're going to claim minimize their future earnings. The bondholders are going to maximize their future earnings, and the judge is charged with deciding, you know, what's reasonable in light of all this evidence.
And they've been there before. They were in bankruptcy court in 2001, survived that and various felony charges. No one went to prison, as far as I know.
No one even resigned. It's amazing
how these smarmy characters end up on their feet. It is somewhat shocking, even for people who've been around a while.
It is. They are a sorry carcass of a company, and yet they remain very strong, like some sort of monster zombie lurching around. And they're now a really valuable organization, primarily due to these recent legal changes that have made it easy for PG&E to up the rates of ratepayers in order to cover any damages caused by their negligence.
Yeah. Okay, we'll keep following this, give the highlights and the lowlights of these hearings, and hopefully we'll have some kind of people power coming out of this.
Well, it should speed the movement, which in terms of climate change is really essential toward limiting the damage caused by the way the weather is moving.
This is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the movement for public power and the bankruptcy hearings underway in California with Pacific Gas and Electric. Mm-hmm.